This psalm was written with one purpose in mind, to praise the Lord. How many thought most likely I would preach on praise today, or Thanksgiving, because it is the Sunday before Thanksgiving? That's the purpose of this psalm. David wasn't satisfied to wait until he got to heaven to praise the Lord. He started expressing his praise to God every day. You know, praise is one earthly occupation that will continue in heaven. So why don't you just start practicing right now? Amen? That's one earthly occupation that we're going to be able to do in heaven. Psalm 145 begins with a single voice. Look at the first verse. I will extol thee. I will exalt thee. I will bless thy name forever and ever. You notice the I. Okay, but by the time we reach the end of the chapter, David has invited everyone to join him, and he ends with, let all flesh, look at the last verse, let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Praise starts personally, but it doesn't stay personal. Are you with me, y'all? You're bragging on Jesus, that ought to overflow to your neighbor. That ought to overflow to your family members. That ought to overflow to your work associates. When we start praising the Lord, we cannot keep it personal. We cannot keep quiet. It may start that way, but it's going to flood over to other people. When you truly see the goodness of God, how many of you have been good to you? Say amen. When you truly see the grace of God, them singing those songs about, thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. That blood has washed away all of our sins. We've got something to be grateful for. And we invite others to join in with us. I love this psalm. Psalm 69:30. Now, we'll get back to Psalm 145. But I love this verse. Say it with me. Ready? Psalm 69:30. Ready? I will praise the name. Get it up there, boys. Is it not? That's it. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify or honor him with thanksgiving. The definition of thanksgiving is the act of giving thanks. How many had already figured that one out? That's a pretty good definition, isn't it? Pretty easy. Thanksgiving definition is the act of giving thanks. But let's go a little deeper. Grateful acknowledgement of benefits or favors. Now, this is just from the regular dictionary, but even they added this part to it. Grateful acknowledgement of benefits or favors, especially to God. We are going to do some of that this morning right here in the message. We're going to acknowledge him for his benefits, for his favors. We're going to give him all the credit. All right, let's look at verse 1. I will extol, exalt thee, my God, O King. I will bless, I'm going to praise thy name forever and ever. Notice God's personal relationship with him. David called him my God. When we know the Lord in a personal way, the desire to sing his praise, the desire to sing it often becomes very strong. He is my God. Verse 2, every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. You know what that means, y'all? Not just on Sunday mornings. Not just on Wednesday nights when we gather together. Hey, we need to determine never to let a day go by without discovering some way to praise him. How many remember this little chorus? Praise him. Come on. Praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him till the sun goes down. Praise him, y'all. Amen. Praise him in the nighttime. That's not even in there. We'll add that to the chorus, all right? Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the evening. Praise him at noontime. Praise him at nighttime. Praise him till the sun goes down. Verse 3. Just going through Psalm 145. Y'all having fun yet? All right? You enjoying this? Great is the Lord, and greatly or most worthy to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. No one can measure his greatness. Man, God is so great. Our little human minds can't even fathom it. We can't comprehend him. This is the awesome mystery of God's person. We may not understand all about him, but we can love him and we can tell others how great he is. When's the last time you told somebody else how great your God is? All right, verse 4. Here's how we do it. One generation shall praise thy works to another. Y'all, we need to be telling our children. We need to be telling our grandchildren about the greatness of God. Here's, keep going. And shall declare or proclaim thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. We have an obligation to pass on to the younger generations the truth about the Lord. When he does mighty things for us, we need to pass it on, pass it on, pass it on. I have a precious picture of me mommy. How many remember me mommy? Tanya's grandmother, Glenda, Tanya's mama, Tanya, our daughter Katie, and my son Wyatt. Five generations. And you look at that picture and you can see how faith has been laid down to each generation. That's what this verse is talking about, y'all. And we need to declare the awesome power of God's might and pass it on to future generations. Verse 6, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible, all that means is awe-inspiring acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Hey, David is awed by the wonder of God's ways. The greatest wonder being in the life of Jesus. He was born in a manger. He lived sinless on this earth. He served. He ministered. He died on the cross. He rose again from the dead. He ascended back to heaven. Grace and love turned that old cross into a symbol of salvation for us from our sin. That's a mighty act of God. That is awe-inspiring. That's what this verse is saying. Declare it everywhere you go. Now, David gives us two attributes of God that ought to move our hearts to praise Jesus every single day. Number one, praise God for his goodness. Can you say that with me? Ready? Praise God for his goodness. If you ever struggle to praise, all you need to do, listen, is stop and think about how good God has been. Psalm 100 verse 5 reminds us that God is good. Romans 8:28 says he's always working things for our good. Even when we don't understand how, we don't understand why. Whatever God thinks, says, does, plans, accomplishes is good. He's good to our church right now. Y'all agree with that? You say, preacher, we're going through a tough time trying to find a youth pastor. God's in control. He's working all things for his good. We trust him. So whatever he's thinking, whatever he says, whatever he does, whatever he plans, whatever he accomplishes is good. Look at verse 7. His goodness is abundant. They shall abundantly utter the memory or share the story of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Hey, we won't be able to talk about anything else. His goodness will overflow in our hearts. You can't get to the bottom of it. How many believe he's got plenty of goodness to go around? To every one of us. If I could put it simply, God has been better to us than we deserve by far. I mean by far. On Wednesday night, we reached back into our minds, and here's what we did, y'all. We uttered the memory of God's great goodness. We had our praise, pizza, and pie. We had a house full downstairs, and man, kids running everywhere, teens going crazy. I mean, it was chaos. It was good chaos, all right? But what were we doing? That whole night was about praise. And we uttered the memory of God's great goodness. You know what utter means? To pour forth like a bubbling spring. I can't help but think What pours out of our mouth sometimes is not good. You say, uh-oh. You know, how many times do things that come out of our mouth is not good, not edifying, not building up the body of Christ? I know I mess up on this all the time. Let's determine, church, to change that. Like my mama used to tell me, if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. How many had a mama like that? All right. Her voice needs to be in your mind a lot of times when you come across a situation. You want to say something bad. You want to say something negative. You want to criticize and complain. Woohoo! If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. Just let it roll. Overlook an offense. Keep on going. Because he's been so good to us. All right, number two under this part, his goodness is abundant. His goodness is also compassionate. Look at verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Are y'all thankful for this like I am? The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. I wasn't the best parent in the world. That verse did not describe me on a lot of occasions. I was quick to get angry with my kids. Are you with me, church? Can you relate? Aren't you glad we don't have a God like that? He's slow to mercy, great mercy, and slow to anger. You know, God's goodness is not cold. It's not distant. Aren't you thankful today that God doesn't treat us like we treat him? He's patient. He's gentle. He's moved with compassion toward his children. We don't deserve his mercy and blessing. We've all experienced the kindness and compassion of God. That should motivate us to show the same kind of compassion and kindness to somebody else. We've been given so much. Let's give it out to others. And then I thought about his goodness as universal. Look at verse 9. The Lord is good to all. Say that with me one more time. Ready? The Lord is good to all. And his tender mercies are over all his works. Even those who don't know him are still touched by his goodness. Before you got saved, hallelujah, you still had breath. You still had a life that God had given you. You didn't even realize the goodness of God at that point, but you were still touched by his goodness. Jesus said, the Father makes the sun rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain, remember how he worded it, on the just and the unjust. You say, Pastor, why does God do that? Because goodness is his nature. It's not a reward. God is good because God is good. Boy, you're not going to get any simpler than that, right? God is good because God is God, and goodness is just a part of him. God is so good. Come on. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Why does God's goodness, what does God's goodness do in us? Number one, God's goodness should lead us to repentance. Y'all remember the story of the prodigal son? When he realized how generous and how good his father was, he had a change of actions. He returned home. Sometimes God breaks us with his conviction, but often he melts us with his kindness. I hope on a lot of occasions, Christians, that you are being broken with conviction over your sin. And he's also melting your heart with goodness and with his kindness. And as we worship and praise him for that, it's going to lead us to repent and forsake our sin. So God's goodness should lead us to forsake sin, to repent of it, get it out of our lives. And just, it ought to motivate us to love God with all of our heart and live holy lives. Number two, God's goodness enables us to face life without fear. Hey, when you truly believe God's good, you can walk through the darkest valley and still trust in him. You can say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you're good. Hey, let's not fear. Knowing his goodness goes before us, and also his goodness follows behind us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, say with me, all the days of my life. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Sing it. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Praise you for being so good. Not only should we praise God for his goodness, I got one more, number two. Praise God for his grace. If God's goodness blesses everyone, God's grace is especially poured out onto those who have trusted in him as their personal Savior. David highlights several groups that receive grace. Number one, he talks about the ones he is gracious to those who fall. Let's skip down to verse 14. The Lord upholdeth all that fall. How many have ever fallen before? I'm not talking physically. I'm talking spiritually. Every one of us can raise our hand. Amen? The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth or lifts up all those that are bowed down. Hey, David himself fell into sin with Bathsheba. He was bowed down with a burden of guilt. You ever been there? He was bowed down with contrition and shame. Yet God picked him up. Every Christian in this room has fallen at some point. But God in his grace lifts us up again. He didn't kick you while you were down. Can I hear an amen right there? He didn't despise you. Oh no, he picked you up and restored you. Peter denied him three times. But very shortly after that, who did God allow to preach at Pentecost? Woohoo! Peter was right there, and 3,000 people were saved. I fail him time and time again, and he still blesses me. How many can say the same? All right, he's also gracious to those who hunger, not only those who fall, but those who hunger. Look at verse 15. The eyes of all wait upon thee. Thou givest them their meat or their food in due season as they need it. Verse 16, thou openest thy hand, satisfieth the desire, the hunger and thirst of every living thing. Verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Picture a baby in a high chair. Go back in time for many of you. Some of you can relate right now. His eyes are upon his mother and father as they're getting the food ready. He's licking his lips. Everybody lick your lips, all right? Mm-hmm. Woo! He's seeing or she's seeing the mom and daddy heat up that food and they're getting ready for it, man. They're waiting anxiously. And then finally, that spoon of yummy food comes to him in due season. Just as they need it. And it's very satisfying. That spoon of yucky mashed up green beans, right? But it tastes good to them. They're hungry. And they cannot wait. And then they are satisfied. God opens his hand and gives us what we need. He satisfies every good gift in your life, even the ones you never thought about. Come from the open hand of Almighty God. Let's give him credit, y'all. He's supplied all of our needs. He's also gracious to all who pray. Look at verse 18 and 19. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Verse 19. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save or rescue them. We don't have a God who is far away. We have a God that bends down to listen when his children cry, when his children pray. Thank God we've got direct access to God. I don't have to go through the Pope. I don't have to go through the priest. I don't even have to go through another preacher. Amen? You got direct access to God Almighty. He's gracious to those who pray. Now, but I just got a little caveat here. David gives two conditions for effective praying. Honesty before God. Look at that phrase in verse 18. Call upon him in truth. You know what that means? We're sincere in our prayers. We're not flippant. God doesn't answer pretend prayers. He answers honest hearts. He wants you to be honest and sincere. And then I saw the fear of the Lord. You got to be honest before God. You also have to have the fear of the Lord. Look at verse 19. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. Now, this isn't being afraid of God. It's speaking of reverence. It's speaking of respect. It's speaking of humility. It's coming to God on his terms, not ours. And when we come like that, man, God responds with grace. He satisfies. He saves. He secures. Only our God is the only God who can do all of that. Then I thought about how he's gracious to those who love him. Look at verse 20. The Lord preserveth or protects all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. Do you love him this morning? You don't have to answer out loud, but answer that in your heart. Our love doesn't earn God's grace, but it strengthens our personal relationship with Jesus. He guards us. He watches over us. He keeps us in his hand. The grace of God meets us where we're at. He walks with us through every trial, and he's going to carry us safely home one day. On the flip side, that the last part of that verse says, those who despise his grace, reject Jesus, they're going to die in their sin. I don't wish that for anybody here. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, hey, be saved today. All right, then we get to verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. But then he lets everybody in on it, ready? And let all flesh, everyone, bless his holy name forever and ever. Again, praise starts in the heart of one believer who's tasted the goodness and grace of God. And then it becomes the testimony of all God's people. So as your pastor today, I've gotten up before you and I said, let's thank God for his goodness. Let's thank God for his grace. And I want y'all to all join with me and say, praise the Lord. He is good. It really is a thrilling privilege that we can praise the Lord together. So this morning, whatever you're carrying, whatever battles you're facing, whatever burdens are weighing up or down on your heart, Peter gives us a perfect closing scripture. Y'all remember this. I love 1 Peter 5:7. Ready? Casting all your care upon him. In other words, give all your worries and cares to God. Why? For he careth for you. Hey, let's praise God for his goodness. Let's praise God for his grace. Let's praise God because he cares for you. Don't leave praise out of your life. Many times we have a prayer meeting and hands shoot up everywhere. Woo, pray for this, pray for that. Pray for my aunt's ingrown toenail. Pray for, you know, we can think of all kinds of prayer requests and then we get to praise time. Anybody got a praise? And it's like crickets. Nobody can think of anything to praise the Lord. Let's stop that. Man, let's be ready to praise him at the drop of a hat. Praise him. As we praise him, he's going to give us the strength that we need for the demands of life. I believe God does not only want our church to be a praying church. He wants Gospel Light to be a praising church. He also wants us to be a praising church. Let's not have one without the other. Let's have both. Amen. A praying church and a praising church. So with hearts of gratitude today, I'm going to say this verse one more time. Psalm 69:30. I will praise the name of the Lord with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. Boy, that sounds good, y'all. Let's praise Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for Your goodness, Your grace, and that You care for us. Help us not neglect to praise You. Help us not to leave praise out of our lives. And Lord, we thank You for Your power in our lives.